My guest today, Robert Young Pelton, is no ordinary traveler. He lives for adventure, going through remote and exotic areas most of us would never consider. He's endured an attack by killer bees in Africa, been aboard a plane that crashed in Borneo, and survived the occasional trip to war zones. Robert shares these exploits and others in his book called The World's Most Dangerous Places. Having lived to tell his tales, Robert's in a better position than most to offer hints for keeping ourselves and our possessions intact. I asked him to name some essential items for any traveler's survival kit.
Well, the most important thing, really, is a lot of money, and I always advise people carry an American Express traveler's check, so if they do lose it, they can get it back again. Other things that are worth thinking about are these neat little credit card-sized survival kits made by Tool Logic. They have a knife, a compass, a magnifying glass, a number of interesting things. The second thing is carrying things that make your life just a little bit easier. For example, I recommend striped yellow and black tape to put on your luggage so that if you don't speak the language, you can identify your luggage. Little things like that. You know the little zip ties you get in your garbage bags?
Sure.
When you carry a pack or any sort of adventure gear, they typically have circles in the ends of the zippers that come together. And a lot of people go out and buy $50 worth of locks, combination locks. And what that does is signal to baggage handlers and people who like to rummage through there that there's something valuable in there. What I do is I use these yellow zip ties to whip them through these holes so that people just think that it's going to be obnoxious to get into those things.
What sort of things should you put in order before you travel? I'm thinking of maybe copies of documents like traveler's checks or passport.
Yeah, the simple procedure is this. Bulletproof your trip by making sure that even in the worst-case scenario, things are going to turn out all right. And, for example, protect your money. Go down, get them exchanged in the traveler's checks. Make sure that you keep a copy with somebody at home that is not going to be traveling. Make Xerox copies of all your credit cards, your passport, all the things that you think you might lose. Leave a copy with somebody who you can call. If you want to buy insurance, I recommend it. There's a variety of insurance programs for adventure travelers or people who are going away for a long period of time. Talk to people about what's the best way to check in every once in a while. Don't freak them out by calling them every 5 hours, but, you know, just let them know that you'll check in whenever you get to your destination. And you know that the most dangerous thing to lose is actually your airline ticket. If you lose your airline ticket, you have to buy a new one, and then you won't get a refund for about a year, which always bothers me. So keep the details on your ticket and buy the insurance or required to replace that ticket if you have to.
What's the best way to safeguard your money when you're traveling? Money belt?
I have a pocket sewn into my jeans, which Velcros to the inside. I also do something else, which is very nasty, but it works all the time, is I have a fake wallet. I'll take old Tajik rubles or all that money that you can never change back
right.
When you come home, expired credit cards. And if somebody wants to tap me on the shoulder and want my wallet, I can actually give this to them, which buys me time to run away.
You say that looking someone straight in the eyes or smiling will go a long way to keeping you safe. Did you learn this from experience?
No, I'm just an idiot. When I get off the plane, I like to meet people, and there's two modes you can take. One is I look a little bit like a moron when I travel because I'm always saying, hi, how you doing, good morning, and I learn whatever it is in their local language. Secondly, if I'm walking through a nasty part of town, I look at everybody and look straight in their eyes, and I walk towards them. What that means is that person has to think twice about what he's going to do to me.
We're talking with Robert Young Pelton. He's author of The World's Most Dangerous Places. What if you get seriously ill in a remote place where there's only primitive medical treatment available? You think you should accept medical help even if you think it might make you worse?
When you are very, very ill, and this happened to me, I was in West Africa and I did my own remake of The Sheltering Sky, you can buy what they call repatriation insurance, which means that a plane will fly from a civilized country and get you out of there. It doesn't cost that much if you're going to be away, let's say, for 2 or 3 weeks, and it guarantees that a private charter plane will come and get you with medical technicians and take you back to a hospital. If you don't have that, if you don't need that, I find that most doctors are actually pretty well trained, but don't go into a hospital. In other words, be treated from a hotel. So find the largest American-ish looking hotel, ask them if there's a doctor that treats Americans, and then by all means get out of there, because you can actually catch more diseases in a hospital in a foreign country.
If you'd been in Kenya or Tanzania when U.S. embassies there were targeted and that horrific tragedy occurred, particularly in Kenya, what would you have done? Would you have gotten out of the country like the next minute?
No, I mean, I would probably fly there. But the difference is that when you have sporadic terrorist attacks, There usually aren't a lot of other attacks shortly thereafter. They might be timed to coincide together, like the Dar es Salaam and the Nairobi explosion. Yeah. Typically, though, the biggest problem people have is finding out what to do. If you blow up an embassy, it's very difficult to call the embassy because they're busy trying to find out where their phones went. My advice to people is find a large American corporation, and that can be somebody ranging from IBM, American Express, Ford, or whatever. They typically will have plans of evacuation, they'll have contacts, they'll have good radio equipment, they'll have telephone lines, and they're more than willing to help out people in a major emergency. Also, aid organizations, you know, we don't want to deplete their resources, but at the same time, they have good, clear communications with the states and other groups.
Good advice. Robert Young Pelton is the author of The World's Most Dangerous Places, which is published by Fielding.